church, the house of God, looks so pretty. There's just so much about this season that touches the heart, particularly if you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And so first let me extend our condolences on behalf of Pastor Lou and myself to the family. I saw on Facebook where your loved one passed away, and so we extend our sympathies. But we also extend celebration because we too know where the Son of God now lives. And so it is time for celebration. It speaks of life eternally. And so that's a cause for celebration. Though we mourn, you know, because our loss, we won't have that touch. We won't have, but we will, again, be together. And so we can celebrate that. And Pastor Lou does send his love. Of course, he sends his love. And he wishes you, one and all, a very Merry Christmas, a wonderful, healthy, joy-filled, God-inspired holiday. And, of course, that we not forget why we gather together and come and celebrate Jesus Christ, no matter how busy. I asked one of the sisters this morning, I said, how are you doing? You know, are you very busy? And she said, no, I'm not so busy. I said, wow, that's awesome. Because everybody that I talk to is so busy, you know, and help us, Lord, not to be so busy where we forget the focus and forget our priority for this season. And so thank you for your prayers. You know what? Both Pastor Lou and I feel the power of your prayer to strengthen us, encourage us, and trust and believe God. So thank you so much. And so it blesses me to be able to come and bring the word of God. You know, again, our relationship was God-ordained. Some relationships are man-made, and I thank God for those as well, you know. But some relationships are God-ordained, and I know that our relationship with this church, with your pastor, is a God-ordained relationship. And by the grace of God, it'll go on into eternity. You know, it'll go on into eternity. So I'm so thankful for so much. There's so much to be thankful for. God is the blessor, and it's what he does. He blesses. And so my message this morning may not be a full-blown Christmas message, but it is the message of the heart of Jesus Christ. And how many know Christmas is not about a particular holiday or a particular message, but Christmas is about Christ alive in you, because it's about Christ. It's the message of Christ. And so when we speak the word of God, when we bring forth the word of God, you know, that is a Christmas message. Amen. And so before I go on to share with you what I believe God has placed in my heart, I would like us to just take a moment to pray. Father God, I just want you to know that we remember, we're reminded through the worship, through prayer, through the union of the brethren, we're reminded by even the season and how we as Christians rejoice about your birth, that there wasn't a moment when you did not love us. There wasn't a moment where we were not in your heart, Father. There wasn't a moment, Jesus, when you were on the cross that you were not thinking about us. There's never been a moment in history in your life where Christ did not love you and was not willing to forgive you. There's never been a moment where God did not move on your behalf. There's never been a moment where God did not want you to get what he gave his life for, the covenant blessing, his promises, the benefits of being a son, daughter of the Most High. There's never been a moment in history when what God declared is yours, he would not enforce by the power of his word and by the power of his blood and by the power of his name. I believe that at this time, particularly at this season when we close off a year and are about to walk into a new season and a new year where we announce the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I believe there's never been a moment where you aren't calling your bride, your sons and daughters to the altar for consecration, a renewed consecration of the heart. where you are not saying unto us, because I love you, I chose you, because I chose you, I predestined you, because I predestined you, I came to give you life and life abundantly and life eternally. And so, Lord, as we celebrate, Lord, all that you've given us, the things that you have subtracted because you knew what was best for us, Lord, I believe that God is calling his bride, his church, you and me, to the altar again to consecrate and submit and dedicate our lives afresh and anew to you once again, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said that you came to deliver. You came to heal. You came to save. You came to set us free. You came to break the chains that keep us bound, Lord Jesus. And so you're the same God yesterday, today, and you're the same God forevermore. And so I just want to thank you and declare before one and all that God is a God of unconditional love. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you're doing. God says, I love you anyway. I gave my life for you. I rose from being dead on that cross. I died and I rose and I did that for you. And God wants to remind us that in him we have our being. In him we live. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, as we gathered here together today in one accord, in union, in agreement, Lord, we agree that you are truly the one true God, whose name is Jesus, the Christ of Bethlehem, the Christ of Nazareth. And so help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to finish this year strong, Lord, after having done all to stand upon the rock of our salvation. And in faith and hope, go into the new year, the new season, knowing that God is with us. As we declare Emmanuel with us, that we actually believe it. Like the three boys in the furnace said, God is with us. And they came out dancing and unscorched. They came out unsinged, Lord Jesus, untouched by the wiles of the enemy. They came out rejoicing, Lord. Help us to know that in the storm and through the trial, God is with us. Help us to remember that on the mountaintop and in the valley, God is with us. And so we celebrate Emmanuel. We celebrate your promise to be with us. And we say thank you. And may our lives be lives that not only are thankful, but that are giving. That we are thankful and giving. Giving the love of Jesus Christ. Giving forgiveness and giving mercy, Lord. Giving of ourselves. Giving of all that you've given us. That we are people that will pass it forward, Lord Jesus. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the mercy. In the name of Jesus and the people of God, we say, amen, amen, amen. And so my message today is a life of thanks and a life of giving. Now that sounds more perhaps like a Thanksgiving message, but it is the good message. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should, as Christians, our lives should be a life that says to God, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. And then we give what God has given us. You know, I was so touched this week, Lou and I, as he was taking some time to rest, and we were watching, I forget what Christian show, but we were watching some children in Haiti, and I was just about to go out food shopping. I was a little low on fruits and vegetables, and I said, I'm going to run and get some fruits and vegetables. But this Christian show was on the air, and they were showing the children in Haiti. And I wasn't listening because I was ready to go out. I was on my way. But I saw them digging up mud. And maybe you saw this. And they were digging up the mud. And you know, I wasn't listening. I was just looking, you know, as I was going back and forth and making my shopping grocery list. And the adults and the children were gathering together, and there was mud over every one of them. It was in their eyes and up their nose, and it was all over their body. And you couldn't even tell that they had clothes on. It looked like they had mud on instead of clothing on. And they were all digging in the mud. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm going back to the kitchen, and what are they all doing in the mud? You know, I wasn't listening. I was just looking. And so then I said, Lou, do you think that they're going to eat the mud? Did you see that? And he said, no, no. And I said, but why are they, going to build houses with mud? Because I've seen mud houses. And I said, well, maybe they're all, everybody, the whole community is gathering together and they're going to build these mud houses. And he said, I bet you that's what it is. I bet you that's what it is. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, these poor people, they're going to build these mud houses. And here we are. And no matter how humble your home is, I'm sure it is not a mud house. But it wasn't that. They weren't going to build houses of mud. This was their food. This was, they call it mud cookies. They have nothing but a little bit of water. And so they take their water, the little bit that they have, and they keep digging mud, and they keep digging mud, and they keep putting a little bit, and they have a sieve. And so I guess they refine the mud like we would refine flour and sugar. They were refining the mud, and they made these mud cookies, and they stacked them, hundreds and thousands of them. And this is their food. And this is what they eat. And again, I don't know who, I don't know these missionaries, I don't know their names, but they said that they eat these mud cookies because they have no food. But what they have learned is that these mud cookies ease the pain of hunger. And so they eat these mud cookies to stop the pain. And I thought, how does that happen in a century, the 21st century? How does this happen? And I said to Lou, let's go to Haiti. Let's go. Let's do something. I cannot watch these children. And you know, it's not that I've not seen children starving. I have. I, by the grace of God, I visited 26 nations in my lifetime so far. I expect to see many other nations. I've seen children starving. I've seen children just not even have water. But this touched my heart, Pastor. I said, you know, sometimes I buy so much fruit, it goes bad. And I throw it out. And sometimes, you know, we've had enough leftovers. You know, I'll cook and we have leftovers and we'll have it one time and then I still have leftover. Nobody wants it again, you know, and I throw it out. And I thought, how does this happen, Lord? How does this happen in our lifetime? And what can we do? And so I said, Lou, you have to get better fast. I said, you have to get better fast. He said, what are you talking about? I said, because we have to go to Haiti. He says, what do you mean? I says, I don't know. I just want to go to Haiti and I want to do something. I want to give something. I want to, if I have to make mud cookies with them, I want to make mud cookies. I said, but you and I, we have to do something because by the grace of God, we've got partners that give into our ministry and God has graced us with income. And I said, you know what? We might not be millionaires, but we're wealthy in and through Christ Jesus. And we got to go to Haiti and we got to give them something. I got to give them more than a mud cookie. You know, we have so many cookies, they grow stale, and we throw out boxes of cookies. I said, so when are we going to Haiti? You got to hurry up and get better. And so Lou said, he said, well, honey, I don't know that I'll be able to go to Haiti next year, but I'll send what we have. And can I tell you, they put on the TV screen, if you send such and such, it'll feed so many. If you send such and such, it'll feed so many. So I said, well, honey, let's just pray about what God would have us to send. And so then, and, you know, and I said, whatever God tells you. And I went out and I did my shopping and I came back. And he said, well, honey, guess what we did today? I said, what did we do? He said, well, I can't get to Haiti right now, and maybe I won't get to Haiti next year, but 28,000 children are going to be able to eat because of the offering that we sent. And can I tell you, 28,000 children, do you know how much money that meant? $250. 28,000 children. Can I tell you, we did it for the children, but you know what happens? In our book of life, Pastor, God wrote down, Lou and Aida gave $250, and they fed 28,000 children from their living room. That's the heart of giving. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you gotta go. That's the Great Commission. We have to go when God says go, and you can go. Because God will supply, God will be there, God will protect, God will make a way for you to go. But sometimes you just can't go. Right now, my husband just can't go. But guess what? Whatever you have, if it's $10, if it's $5, $250, I don't know, maybe you've got thousands of dollars. Guess what? Those children will be fed, and God will put it on your account. What I'm talking about is that we need to be, even Pastor was talking about it, givers of what God has given us. Sometimes just obedience. And sometimes sacrifice. Sometimes just, you know what? Well, you might say, well, you know, thank God you had $250 to give. I do thank God. I do thank. I don't take that for granted. Because there was a time when we just had $2.50, but we gave that. There was times when rent couldn't be paid. And that's a decision. That's a hard one, Pastor. And I'm not saying that everybody ought to do what I do. I'm just saying sometimes God will test you. And I said, Lou, you know, we have two boys growing up, and they eat ravishly. And I will not see my children on the street, Lou. But we didn't have money to pay the rent. What are we going to do? Are we going to tithe? We're going to pay the rent. We're going to tithe, or we're going to pay the rent. Guess what we decided to do? She okay? Got some water? In the name of Jesus, we decided to tithe. Not only so that we could pay the rent that month. How many know it was late that month? I'm going to be honest with you. It was late. But guess what? Every month thereafter, it was early. Do you know why? God honored the sacrifice of our heart. And I'm not saying this is what you ought to do. I'm just saying this is what we were compelled to do. But you can't outgive God, is what I've learned along the way. You cannot outgive God. God will see the obedience and honor that. She needs some help. Maybe she needs to stand up and expand her lungs a little bit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Breathe, Lord, breathe in her lungs and breathe on her, my God. Let breath come into her lungs right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open her lungs so that she can breathe deeply, Lord. The breath of life, the breath of life come into her right now, Lord. I speak to her lungs and I speak to her body and I say, breathe in Christ and exhale the world. Breathe in Christ and exhale the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm a firm believer that a thankful heart is a product of thankful living. See, you got to be thankful for everything. You know, when we were in the little furnished apartment, when Lou and I first got married, we lived in a furnished apartment. And I think I've shared this with some of you before. I was 19 when I got married, and Lou was 19. But you know, we were both working, praise God. And mom and dad, his parents and my parents were not in a position to really help us. So we saved. We saved our money, and we got this little apartment. But, you know, if we saved for the deposit and the rent, there was no money for furniture. Okay? So I said, well, maybe there are furnished apartments that we could rent. That already come with the furniture. And so we looked into that. And we moved into this furnished apartment, and the apartment was filled with antiques. You know what antiques are? They're very expensive. Very, very expensive. Very beautiful. I hated them. I said, this is so old. You know, I was 19 years old. I wanted everything that looked new and contemporary and cheap. New and contemporary and cheap, but this was old and expensive, and I hated it. But it's what we could afford. But you know what? I learned to be thankful in that little furnished apartment. I learned to thank God. Lord, I hate this furniture, but thank you that we have furniture. And so what I'm saying, that a thankful heart is a product of thankful living. So you've got to be thankful where you are and what God has given you. You've got to be thankful and grateful in good times and in bad times. You know, right now, people say to us, we're going through a storm. Lou and I are going through a storm right now. We're going through a trial right now. But, you know, right now is when we got to praise God. Right now is when we have to worship God. Right now, more than ever, like Paul and Silas, they were in the back of the dungeon. The deepest part of that dungeon, the darkest, dampest, probably ugliest, rat-infested part of the dungeon. That's when they praised God. That's when they said, we know who our God is. And not only were they loosed and freed, but others were also. That's thankful living. That's giving God grace and giving God thanks and giving God gratitude, even in the storm. Can I tell you that before the victory manifests, gratitude has got to be expressed? Can I say that again? Before your victory is manifested, gratitude needs to be expressed. Thankfulness needs to be expressed. Then the victory cometh. Then the victory cometh. This is a special time of the year. And again, it's not about just a holiday. It's not just about a season. We know that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But it's also about living a life of thankfulness. When a heart is grateful, the heart releases the power of God. When a heart is grateful, it releases the power of God. When a heart is grateful, it releases worship. When a heart is grateful, it releases effective, fervent prayer that avail much. I know that this is the season for stars and, you know, and we remember the city of Bethlehem and the manger and, you know, all those things. This is part of this season. This is the season of good cheer and goodwill toward men. But it's also the season of God's miracle working power. How many know that everything about Christmas, everything about Christ speaks of the miraculous? That Jesus was born the way he was born, of a virgin young child, let's say, or a virgin young teenager, speaks of a miracle. The way he came to earth speaks of a miracle. How he walked the earth speaks of the miracle working power within him. What he loosed and released upon the earth speaks of the miraculous. You and I are the result of those miracles. How many know you're a miracle waiting to happen in somebody else's life? I'm a miracle. I stand before you a miracle. Transformed, delivered, healed, set free. Chains have been broken off of my life. You're a miracle. You don't sit here just by yourself. You're a miracle because Christ sits in you. The Father sits in you. The Holy Spirit abides in you. That's a miracle the mind can't understand, but it is truth. It's reality. You're a miracle of God. And how many know you have miracle working power working in you, going through you? And God made it a way so that it could come out from you. You have miracle working power in you. This is the season of the miraculous. How many here are believing for a miracle? Now I want you to raise your hands high. If you have a miracle in your heart that you've been standing and agreeing for, can I tell you, God will deliver on that miracle. Because it's who he is. God is a God of the miraculous. And can I tell you what constitutes a miracle? When it's impossible for man. Can I tell you, when we've had to see many doctors recently. And doctors really need to be absolutely honest. They have to let the patient know what they know. What they know. What history says about a certain pattern of things. Statistically, what they know about a certain course of things. They also have to be brutally honest because they could get sued. So it's also a financial reason why they need to be honest with you. But I look at them as they say what they say. And I say, but you don't know my God. See, you've got to meet my God first. And then I can sit here and counsel you and tell you what my God is willing to do, what my God is able to do, and what my God has promised to do. How many know they gave me a report and I gave them the word? This is the report of the Lord. And you know, we spoke here earlier, I think Pastor Monette did, about testing, about the testing of your faith. You are going to be tested again and again and again and again. And just when you think you got over a test, here comes another one. Not too long ago, back in June, May, I had this bacterial viral infection that took my kind of control of my body. And I was in the hospital for about 3 days, and I had never had anything quite like that before. And so for 3 days, I was just laying there with so raging fevers, 103.8, 103.6, 102.7. And they were flooding this arm and this arm with antibiotics, and just antibiotics, 24/7, and IVs so I wouldn't dehydrate and everything. The fevers never came down. And they weren't doing anything for me. And one day the doctor said to me, Aida, he says, we can't help you at all. No matter what we give you, your body, there's nothing. It's not helping you whatsoever. This virus, this bacteria that you have in your body has to fight it on its own. And so I said, so what are you offering me? He said, nothing. We offer you nothing. You got to go home. He said, because if you stay here, you're going to be in more danger, because you're going to be so susceptible to other bacteria and other infections. You got to go home and you got to fight this on your own. So I said, well, doctor, you're about to meet the God I serve, because I ain't fighting this one on my own. God and I will do the battle here. But God has given me the victory over this virus. Well, I want you to know, I went home, and by the grace of God and because of who God is, he fought my battle for me, but I was agreeing with him. We're going to win this one. We're going to win this one. Well, we won that victory. But you know what? My hand was paralyzed. My arm got paralyzed. That bacteria, my immune system sent a message to a nerve pathway, and that nerve pathway sent a message to the muscles that those nerves control. And it disengaged the muscles. The nerve pathway disengaged. The nerves disengaged those muscles. So my arm couldn't move. And I said, well, God, what are we going to do? No, this isn't good enough, Lord. You're 100% God. I want 100% healing. I want 100% restoration. What are we going to do? He says, you're going to believe. And so right now, I've got 85% mobility. And I've got about 20% strength. And God said, you'll get 100. That's what I'm believing for. You'll get 100. That was one test. Testing of our faith. Can you believe? Will you believe? No matter what you feel. No matter what they tell you. And so I told Lou, I said, it's been 3 weeks. The church that we are members of, that we are part of, the pastors had asked us, we want you to be pastors in this church. Want you to come alongside of us. We want you to pastor. We want you to be associate pastors. And so we said, well, we'll pray about that. And so we did. And so, 3 weeks ago, they ordained us in the church. And so we are associate pastors in the church. And 3 weeks ago, Lou did not have the report that he was given the very Monday after the Sunday ordination service. And how many know the devil will tell you, whoa, look at that. You just got ordained in this church. But I'm going to see to it that you don't walk that out. That was Sunday, the ordination. That was Monday, the phone call that we got. And the report was not good. Every test, every level, there's a test for. New level, new devil. T.D. Jakes likes to say, a new level, a new devil. God says, I'm taking you higher, I'm taking you further. You will be tested. I know that what we're going through is not just for us, but so that we can declare unto you and others, look what God has done. Look who our God is. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. What matters is what the word of God says, but you gotta believe it. Can I tell you that God is the healer? How many have no doubt in their mind? How many here have no doubt that God is the healer? He's a healing God. God is a healing God. But can I tell you, for Christians, not for the lost so much, because God will prove himself to them by answering a prayer they never even knew how to pray. But because of who God is, he's sovereign. And sometimes a healing is the dinner bell to come in unto salvation. But for his sons and daughters, God is saying, look, when you accepted me, I put into your heart faith. I gave you faith to be able to receive me as your Savior. And so what Lou and I are just holding on to, like pit bulls. Have you ever seen a pit bull with a bone? Won't let go. And so see, as much as you might think I know the word, revelation cometh sometimes by the hard situation. Revelation cometh sometimes by that time of desperation. And so we've been chowing down on this word, devouring and chewing on this word. And I said, Lord, you know, there is no doubt, how many times have you healed me? How many times has God healed Lou? But this report is different. How many know God's saying, yeah, I know. You're going to need faith for this. You're going to need stretched faith for this. You're going to have to eat my word like you've never eaten it before. You're going to have to you're going to have to come back to the word like a baby comes and looks for milk from the mother's breast. Have you ever seen a baby looking for the milk from the mother's breast, or a little puppy dog? Going in all around the belly, all around the hind legs, all around the tail, looking for the nipple that'll feed that little puppy. And so it is. God said, that's how I want you to come back to me. Eat my word, devour my word, chew my word, because you need to get your faith stretched. See, we don't need to get our faith stretched to believe that God is the healer. We need, and I'm just talking about me, I don't know what you need. You got to identify what you need. We need to understand that it's our faith in Jesus that will pull on he who is the healer. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Whether you have faith to believe that he's the healer or not, how many know he still is? You know, I talk to people, I say, you know what, I believe, I have history, I know him, I've encountered him, I've had dreams, I've had, you know, he is Christ the healer. And they go, well, if that's what you believe. I go, exactly, that's exactly what I believe. But what God is saying, it's not so much that I want my children to understand that I'm Christ the healer, but as a son and daughter, I gave you faith to believe that when you put your faith in me, it's like a magnet and it will pull out what you need. It's the conduit to what you have need of. Can you believe that he is your healer? It'll pull it out of him. And sometimes you think you've got that kind of faith. And then the day comes when you're tested. Do you believe that he is a miracle working God? I do. In my head, I believe it. I have no doubt. I've read it. I've sung it. I've prayed about it. I've laid prostrate about it. I've seen him do miracles. I've been a vessel that he's used for the miraculous. But when I need my miracle, when I need my miracle, can I believe that my faith will draw the miracle out of God into my life? And sometimes we say yes with our head. And God says, I'm about to show you what you have faith for and where you're a little weak. And I'm going to put you to the test. Do you understand what I'm saying? And let's thank God for the tests. Otherwise, we don't identify where we really are. Where we really are. I think it's knowing who Jesus is and what he has done for us that turns us into those who have a thankful heart. What has he done for you? Are you thankful? What has he done for you? Are you thankful? Did you tell him? No, he just knows I'm thankful. No. Did you express your gratitude? How many know forgiveness of our sins is something that we ought to be very thankful for? Do you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm so thankful that God is so willing to forgive me of my sins when I repent. That's something to be thankful for. I can get to start over again. That's something to be thankful for. How many know he saved me? He saved my soul. He rescued me. He delivered me. God has healed me. I just want him to know I'm so thankful. I don't take it for granted. I'm thankful that he's a loving God. You and I, we serve a loving God. We serve a merciful God. We serve a God of grace and favor. We serve a God who didn't just say, I love you. I love you, Araceli. I love you, Monette. He showed you. He proved it. That's the God you serve. Go with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 7. This is where the story begins. And I'm going to go through it quickly. Luke chapter 7. Because what I'm talking about, it's, Pastor Monette said it, it's not how pretty you sing. He wants to know what's in your heart. This is a contrast of two hearts. This is a story about... It's entitled in my Bible, A Sinful Woman Was Forgiven. But the other heart is a story about Simon the Pharisee. So let's read together. I'm going to read verse 36, and I don't know, we'll see where we'll end. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. He is Jesus, of course. Okay. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, her sin was that she was a prostitute. Okay, this is what she did. She sold her body. She was the town harlot. A woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him, who had invited Jesus, saw this, he spoke to himself. He murmured to himself. In other words, nobody heard him say this. But I want to prove to you that God hears every thought you have in your head. You don't have to say it. You don't have to sit across the aisle and say, I can't stand sister so-and-so. You know, I wish brother so-and-so would just jump in the river. You don't have to say that. God heard it. This will prove it to you. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him, Jesus, saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a true prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is and who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, he heard his thoughts, didn't he? He wasn't talking to anybody, but Jesus answered him because he heard his thoughts. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. You know what? When God tells you, Sherry, Arthur, Deli, I have something to say. Let me tell you, you better stop what you're doing. You better take your cell phone and just put it away somewhere. Turn off the TV. Sit down, because he's about to talk to you. He's about to say something to you that you have need to hear, good or bad. Encourage you or correct you. Lift you up or position you where you need to be positioned. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. This is what Jesus is telling him. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman, but he said to Simon. He turned to the woman, but he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head. Verse 45, you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are so many, are forgiven, for she loved much. In other words, she is so grateful. She is so thankful. She just feels so indebted to me. She's expressing her gratitude and her thankfulness to me. But Simon, since the moment I walked into your house, you said I was coming to eat, but you've offered me nothing. You have not refreshed me at all. You who have so much, she who has so little, gave me all that she has. Out of gratitude, out of thankfulness. Because see, when there's love, there's gratitude. When there's love, there is thankfulness. When there's love, you give. The absence of love makes you hold back. I've seen it so many times. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. See, when forgiveness is minimal, gratitude is minimal. When forgiveness is minimal, gratitude is minimal. Based on her attitude, she reflected true repentance. Can I tell you something? She knew he was coming, so she must have heard somewhere, this man that's going to the Pharisee's house, to Simon's house, this man, if you get a chance, go hear him. Can I tell you, she wasn't converted yet. She hadn't accepted him yet. She just heard. And whatever she heard brought him to that house, brought her to that house. And can I tell you, for that woman to go into that house was a big deal. She wasn't invited. Took a lot of courage. Took a lot of boldness. She wasn't invited. And you have to understand the times that she's living in. This is a woman going into a man's house, uninvited. And the boldness to express her love, devotion, and gratitude to Jesus. Verse 48, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him, with Jesus, began to say to themselves, to murmur, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Can I tell you, in salvation, there's everything that you have need of. This speaks of salvation of her soul. How many know her soul was sick before? Her soul was very sick. God said to her, your faith has saved you. Your faith in me has saved you. I've not even preached a message yet. I have not even preached a sermon yet. You don't even really know me. You just heard about me. But your faith in me has saved you. Your faith in me has caused your healing. How many know from that moment on her soul was healed? She was a prostitute no more. She was no longer the city harlot. Your faith in Christ will heal you. God is looking for people of faith. And not just for you, but for others. I think more than ever before, we need to believe not only for healing for ourselves, but healing for this nation. How many know that this nation is broken? It's broken. It's failing. It's sinking. There's corruption at every level. How many know Hollywood is caving in? How many know the swamp is being cleaned and there's more coming? But I know that the church too is being cleansed and washed. God says, I want a sanctified bride. And that's why he's calling us back to the altar of consecration. You want to see the power of Christ again? Sanctification, consecration, surrender, abandonment. This is what will pull on the power of God. How many know we can't have Christ the way we want Christ? I can't just have him on Sunday and then do whatever I want to on Tuesday. Live like the world on Saturday. Go dancing, go drinking, go carousing on Saturday and come to church on Sunday. I'm glad you come to church on Sunday. Praise God. But it's how you live Monday through Saturday that God is looking at. Faith in Christ Jesus. We the church, we the people of God, we must awaken to the call of Jesus. And I figure what better time to do it than to close out the year this way? What better time to do it than to close out the year and begin a new year, new beginnings, a new Genesis, consecrated and sold out to him, believing that he is who he says he is. The power of Christ is the love of Christ. And the love of Christ brought you your salvation, brought you your healing, your deliverance. His power, released through your faith, will manifest in your victory. Go ahead and stand to your feet. People of God, your faith has power. Your faith has power. Your faith in God has power. God's love will pour out his mercy. And his mercy will produce forgiveness of our sins. But your faith has power. I told Pastor Monette, thank you for your prayers. Right now, Pastor Lou does not have pain in his body. Thank God. He is pain free. But can I tell you where the battle is now? It's in his mind. So, this is the battlefield, the mind. And when the battle enters the mind, can I tell you, if you don't take every thought captive, it goes down into the body. So we think, so we are. So we think, so we are. You hear the news, you know these fires are outrageous. They're out of control. How many know we've been praying for the fire of God to descend upon this earth? But that's the fire of the devil. It's devouring, it's destroying, it's killing. That's the fire of the devil. We need to pray that these fires are quenched so that the fire of God can come down upon the church once again. We need to believe that God is in charge, because he is. God's in charge. I don't like to say that God's in control, because we're not puppets. He gave us free will, so he doesn't control us. But God's in charge. And the devil's defeated. And the devil's defeated. You want truth? That's the truth. God's in charge and the devil's defeated. You want to walk in truth? By his stripes, you have been healed. You want to walk in truth? God sets you free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You want truth? Your God, my God, is the one true God. No other idols before him. Our pastor got a revelation. I'll share this and then I'll close with prayer. They called, we have prayer Tuesday nights, and they called us in. And thank God our pastors are praying people. They're praying men, women of God. just like this house, just like your pastor here, just like our pastor, Pastor Monette, praying women of God, praying men of God. And they called us in. And he wanted to encourage Lou. He said, Lou, I don't care about that report. I don't care what the report said. He says, I'm telling you, and as he began to talk, and as he began to share from his heart, I could see that God was giving him a revelation. Because I'm going to tell you, he left. Our pastor left. He wasn't there anymore. He didn't even look like himself. You know what I mean? He was there. I don't mean he left. I mean Pastor Ira left. It was like Father God was there talking, because I could see in our pastor's eyes that he went somewhere so high, so deep, that it wasn't the man. It was Father God talking through him. And he was talking to Lou, and he was talking to me, because we're sons and daughters. And that's how Father God began to talk to us. And so he kept downpouring this information, this revelation to Pastor Ira. And I asked Pastor Ira in the middle of it, I said, Pastor Ira, how long have you been teaching this? How long have you been sharing this? Because it's the first time I hear it. And I've never heard it preached before. I've never heard it said before. He said, never. He says, I'm just learning it now. As I'm opening my mouth and talking, I'm hearing God, and I'm hearing it for the first time. And can I tell you what he said? I'm just going to tell you a little bit of what God said. He said, my sons and my daughters, over the course of years, very subtly have learned to compromise. Compromise with everything and compromise with their healing. And he said, and what I want my sons and daughters to know is that when you are willing to compromise because you're willing to settle, what you are doing is building an idol before me. What do I mean by that? What did he mean by that? And then Sunday, he began to share. And I'll give you my experience. I remember when I was learning to walk again as a child. I couldn't walk at all. And in order for me to, you know, the doctors did everything they could. And all the cortisones and all the prednisones and all the blah, blah zones weren't doing anything for me. I was getting sicker. And they were going to put me in another hospital for another couple of years for experiments and observations. And I remember them saying, but you got to move those limbs. You got to move those legs. You got to walk. And it hurts so much. Hurt so much. But you know what? I had a strong mama. Thank God for strong mamas, right? That when their babies cry, she said, you're going to do it crying, but you're going to do it. You're going to move your legs. You're going to move those hands. You're going to move your neck. But mommy, it hurts so bad. Mommy, you don't know the pain. No, I don't. But you're going to do it anyway. You got to get up. You got to move. You got to. Thank God for strong mamas. But I remember after a while, you know, I started to walk, and I could, and I did. But if I did a certain move, like right now with my arm, I can move it a certain way, but a certain move really hurts a lot. Really hurts a lot. Its muscles are very tight, and it just hurt. Pastor, I know you can relate to this. But I said to God just recently, I said, God, it's okay if I can't move it that way. I'm happy with what I've got. And I'll settle for this. I said, God, if I don't get 100%, it's okay. I can comb my hair now. Before I couldn't. I can comb my hair. I can use my left hand. I can pick up some things. I can move it now. I'm okay. It's okay, God. You don't have to give me the 100. I'm okay. And God said, you know what? He told our pastor, I didn't get this revelation. He said, what you did was you sacrificed to Satan a part of what God paid a price for. What God did at the cross was not 85%, Aida. He's given me 20, I got maybe 20% strength back. What God did at the cross was not for 20%, Jeanette. It was for 100%. But I was willing to settle. I said, it's okay if I don't get 100. It's okay if I just live with 20% strength in my left arm. And what God told our pastor was, every day, my sons and my daughters, they lay sacrifices at the feet of Satan. And they say, Satan, okay, you could take 80% of my strength. Okay, you could take 20% of my mobility. Okay, I can't walk, but I can run. I can't run, but I can walk. Okay, I can't sit, but I can stand. And God said, every day, my sons and my daughters are laying sacrifices at the altar of Satan. And they don't know it. They have to believe that I can do it. We need to teach to raise your faith up. We need to teach to build your faith. And again, I'm not saying, and Pastor didn't say, that we should be unappreciative of the 20. Appreciate the 20. But God did it for the 100%. Appreciate that you've got 80% mobility. Thank you, God. It's better than no mobility. But God did it for 100%. And so what I want you to see is ask God to identify in your life. You know, Lord, I have enough to pay the rent, but I can't buy a house. Why? You know, Lord, I have enough for that secondhand car that's about to break down. Thank you for that secondhand car that's about to break down. If I don't get a new one ever in my life, it's okay. Thank you, God, that, you know, my son is healthy, but he doesn't serve you. No, healthy and serving you. That's what God did at the cross. God did at the cross, not for that broken down car that you put the key in and say, I hope it works, I hope it works, I hope it works. God said, no, a new car. Because you're my son, because you're my daughter. If you can believe, I can get you that car. I'm not talking about getting luxury. I'm talking about obtaining the benefits that God gave his life for. Lord, today I'm walking, but tomorrow I want to run. He said, tomorrow you want to run? I want you to run. Run, believe for the run. Believe for the run. Peter, John, I'm so glad he's healthy and getting better every day. But God wants him healthy and home. Healthy and home. That's what God gave his life for. I'm so happy that my husband is not in pain. But God said, I didn't say no pain. I said healed and whole. Healed and whole. Healed that body whole. That body strengthened. That body lacking nothing. I was willing to settle for just cancer in his bladder. Oh God, if it's just cancer in his bladder, that's okay. It hasn't spread. Well, now it's spread. What are you going to believe for? That's what God's saying. Are you going to settle? Are you going to compromise because you're not exercising your faith? Exercise your faith. Grow your faith no matter where you are. Some of us are here. Most of us are here. Maybe others are here. But God says, I gave you faith without measure, without limits, without restraint, without containment. If you can just believe, saith the Lord, without doubting, bind fear. Lou and I have been praying, God, help our unbelief. Help us in the area that because they said stage so-and-so. Oh my God, how many know it doesn't matter to God what stage? Only man gets all nervous when you say stage, blah, blah. God said, listen, I gave my life for you for stage 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever else they can come up with. When I said I healed you, I healed you. When I said I'm the healer, I'm the healer. Nothing's too big for God. And how many know nothing's too big for you if you can just believe? So Lord, today, I know so many are going through a storm, Lord, through trials, Lord. We're in the last of the last days, Lord, I know. You're coming soon, praise the Lord. But you're coming back for a bride. Without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, Lord. It's not that we will achieve perfection here, Lord, but that every day we want more and more and more of you. Every day we want to grow in Christ Jesus. Every day we want our faith grown and stretched, Lord, to be able to do more before you come back. Believe for more. Lord, we're believing for a harvest of souls, a harvest of sons and daughters, our sons and daughters, our family members, those that we don't even know, Lord, we're believing for them, Lord. Lord, we want our faith to grow that when we see these fires ravaging the land and taking lives and destroying animals, that when we say fire cease, it ceases in Jesus' name. Faith, Father God, to believe that this nation will turn again, Lord Jesus, to you and be surrendered to you and bring you back into the land, Lord Jesus. Make you God over this nation once again. To be able to believe, Lord Jesus, that when the bank account says 00, God says, I'm the God who provides. You don't need to know how. You don't need to know when. You don't need to know through whom. God says, I am Jesus, the provider. I am your Jehovah Jireh. To be able to believe that you're going to come and pay the rent somehow, Lord Jesus. I'll do my job. God's already done his. To be able to believe that when the doctor says you'll never walk again, God says, I have a better plan. She will walk and she will run and she will declare my glory. When the doctor says, oh, I got bad news. It went from stage 0 to stage 2. Oh, I got worse news. It went from stage 2 to stage 4. God says, but I've got the good news. By his stripes, my son's been healed. It's time, Lord Jesus, for your bride to rise up and be a pit bull about the word of God. To be a pit bull about the good message. To take this word, Lord, and chew it and devour it and chew it and eat it and devour it till it becomes one with us, Lord Jesus. Mountain moving faith, hallelujah. Devil rebuking faith, hallelujah. Cancer removing faith, hallelujah. Lord, this is the season where you're telling us, bride, awake and arise, awake and arise. Let the glory of the Lord fill the temple once again. We are praying for the glory of God to fill the temple. Fill our lives, fill our homes, fill our schools, fill this land, fill the nations once again, Lord Jesus. Lord, first repentance, then reformation, and then revival, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rabashi, I'm declaring the restoration of the Lord. Lord, when we close out this year, 2017, what a year. What a year, my Lord. But Lord, here we are standing. By the grace and the mercy and the power of your word, Lord, we're standing, Lord Jesus. Maybe we have a little more scars on us. But this to the glory of God. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing upon the rock. Not by power, not by might. But it shall be, your victory shall be by the Spirit of the living God. And so, Lord, we say to you, we are thankful. We are grateful for all that you've done, Lord Jesus. So much we have already forgotten, Lord. Things that we forgot to say thank you for. Things that we didn't realize you had done until so much time later. I want to say thank you, Lord, for the things you're doing right now in our midst. Right now, right now, right now, right now in the hearts of your sons and daughters. I want to thank you for the things you are about to do, Lord Jesus. About to do. The things that you're about to do on our behalf. And so, Lord, forgive us when we have not expressed like this woman, the sinful woman forgiven. The woman with no name. We just know who she was and who she wound up being, a daughter of the Most High. She wound up being grateful and thankful. This is who she wound up being. It doesn't matter how we start out. Help us to have the spirit of this woman in us, Lord. grateful and thankful and stepping over ourselves, Father God, tripping over ourselves to bring you glory and honor, Lord. Not the spirit of Simon, pride and rebellion and arrogance, self-centeredness, Lord Jesus, rebellious, Lord. I bind the spirit of Simon in the house of God amongst the children of God. And I loose the spirit of this woman, Lord Jesus, who gave you oil, who wept uncontrollably, who wiped your feet with her hair, which is all that she had, and would not cease to kiss your feet, Lord Jesus, out of gratitude and thankfulness, that she was willing to express her love for you in radical actions, Lord Jesus. So we thank you today, Lord, and I pray that your sons and your daughters today, Lord, would remember why you came. Remember who you came for. And remember the call on our lives, the purpose, and why we're here. And so, Lord, during this season that we call Christmas, may Christ be the Alpha, the Omega, and the center. I bless this church, Lord Jesus. I bless the New and Living Way Christian Church. I bless them exceedingly abundantly, Lord. I pray, Lord, that every one of their prayers that align with your will, Lord, be answered yes and amen. I pray for Pastor Monette and the leadership of this house, Lord Jesus. I thank you for each and every one of them. I thank you for their hearts. This is a giving church, Lord. You have placed in their heart, Father God, the fruit of love, which is giving, Lord Jesus. You're a giving church. They give of themselves. They give through obedience and they give sacrificially. You reward them exceedingly abundantly, my Lord. We thank you for the friendship. We thank you for the relationship. I thank you, Father God, for the purpose and the call of this house of God. Let them go wider, further, and deeper to the four corners, Lord Jesus. May their seed touch lives and nations that maybe their feet may never touch the ground of, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you are the God that blesses them. And in the name of Jesus, Pastor Lou and I bless them. And we say thank you, New and Living Way Christian Church. And thank you, Pastor Monette. Amen.
Please be seated for a minute. You know, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, he does something new and something powerful. Amen. That coming to church will never be the same. How many of you have been so blessed with the word of God that was ministered to us today? Amen. Praise God. And so the time is coming, really. That's why we as a church, as a people of God, we're encouraged really to make room for the word of God in our hearts because we need it. We need it, the power of the word of God. Amen. And so we're going to take a second offering as we would normally do because our actions are always guided by the word of God. We share good things with those who teach and preach the word of God. And so this is a blessed opportunity for us to give as unto the Lord to bless his servant that preached the word of God today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so let's just thank him. Let's offer to him a prayer of thanksgiving. I was just reminded as Pastor Yida was preaching, that little boy that was used by Jesus, what he had, he gave it into the hands of our Lord Jesus. That boy had a small lunch, but when he gave it to Jesus and Jesus prayed and blessed it, it multiplied and fed thousands of people. What do you have in your hands today? We give it as unto the Lord. God bless it. Because, Lord, there's so many more who needs to hear the message of the gospel. God has blessed us so much. And as we give today with a cheerful heart and even sacrificially, you know what? God sees it. God credits to your account, and he would multiply it. Amen. Let's thank him for this blessed opportunity. Amen. Father God, we thank you. We are so blessed, oh God, that you have given us this privilege, God, once more to give this offering. First, to honor you. This is part, this is an act of worship for all of us, oh God. And Lord, in obedience to your word, oh God, that to share good things with those whom you have called to share the power of the word of God, to minister the word of God to us. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for Pastor Aida. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that, Lord, you have used her today, Lord God, to speak to our hearts, Lord God, coming from your word to the work of your Holy Spirit, oh God, breathing life unto us, oh God, and the word. And so, Father God, accept our offering as we give as unto you, that, Lord, as your people give, that you are the God who will multiply what we have. We give it into your hands, Lord God. Bless it and multiply it, oh God. Lord, what was shared earlier, there's so many people who are hungry physically and even spiritually, oh God. We as a church, we need to rise up, oh God, in our giving of our resources, of our time, oh God. That, Lord, we should be good stewards of our time because you said, oh God, because Jesus, you're coming back so soon. That we need to be occupied doing the Father's business. Hallelujah. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that as you have blessed us, that, Lord, oh God, as we give, that, Lord, you would bless it and multiply it, oh God, to touch many more lives, oh God. Thank you for your servant, Lord God, for Pastor Aida. Bless her, Pastor Lou, and the family, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so we're going to have a practice for the chorus, the choir, for our Sunday's worship service. Amen. Praise God. And I'd like to meet the ushers after the service too. Amen. Praise God. And it's pot blessed for Sunday. Bring your favorite dish. Amen. Praise God. If you cannot cook just like I do, I don't have the gift of cooking, you can give, you can issue a check or whatever you would like to help out and be a blessing to others. Amen. Praise God. As we all rise up and let's just thank the Lord for this day. Amen. How many of us are grateful to God today? Amen. The power of God is released every time you and I are thankful to the Lord for what he has done. Amen. Let's acknowledge what he has done in all of us today, in our hearts, in our bodies, and even in our souls. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you are our God, the all-knowing God. We might not, there's so many unknowns in our lives of what lies ahead for our tomorrows, but we turn to you. We turn to you because you're the God of our future. Lord, we thank you that today you have blessed us with so much. With your word and the anointing of your spirit, the life-giving power breathed upon us, oh God, through the work of your spirit, that something was deposited. Many things were deposited in our hearts that's equipping us for our present challenges and what lies ahead for tomorrow. We thank you, Lord, that we are never alone because we honor you as our Emmanuel, the God who has promised that you will be with us till the end of the age. And so, Lord, thank you, God, for that we are part of the unshakable kingdom of God. The shakening happening around us, oh God, we remember that, Lord, we belong to you. We belong to your kingdom, oh God. And so, Holy Spirit, we honor you. You're our teacher. You're the one who gives us revelation and understanding that, Lord, that would just, it would equip us, oh God, strengthen us in our walk with Christ. And so, Father God, we pray that you would open your hand. Stretch forth your hand upon your people today, gathered in this place. Thank you for touching all of us. We receive by faith, Lord God, the good things that you have for us. And that as you bless us, may we be a channel of blessing to many, oh God. And we honor you, Lord. We even commit to you, Lord God. Lord, oh God, the lives of your people, oh God, that God, our prayers, Lord of the harvest, oh God. That, Lord, oh God, you would anoint us, oh God. The kind of anointing that breaks the yoke, oh God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for teaching us how to pray for one another, to pray for others, oh God, to pray for the lost, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And give us the hunger for your word. Hunger for your word, oh God, in Jesus' name. And so, Father God, we thank you for blessing your people. We thank you for the hedge of protection built upon us because, as we declare, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That Jesus, you are the builder of the church, oh God. You're building us up, oh God. Hallelujah. Strengthening us, oh God, that we will be mighty men and women of God. Lord, oh God, for there's boldness in the heart of the righteous. That's what your word says, oh God. With boldness to do your will, oh God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Decisive with things that concerns our spiritual well-being, oh God. Thank you, Father God, even for the wisdom that you have given us, oh God. In the times that we're living in, oh God, you're teaching us what to do. And so, Father God, we thank you. We even commit to you our time of fellowship. Thank you, Father God, for the love of God, for the love for one another, continually strengthen and unite your people, O God, that we may serve you all the days of our lives. And Father God, we would like to honor you, Lord God, this moment once more, God, as we lift up our hearts and our voices to bless your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you are so ready once more to just praise God and bless his name? Amen. Praise God. Let our faith find expression as we worship God together. Amen. Come on, praise and worship. Let's glorify God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise his name forevermore. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify your name. We glorify your name, oh God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, oh God. Praise God. Amen. Amen.